Chapter 15, The First Kings of England. The Vikings invade England. The Vikings settled in Iceland, Greenland, and North America. They invaded France, took over part of it, and named their new kingdom Normandy, and they also invaded the islands of Britain. If you look at a map just above Normandy, you'll see Britain. The southern part of the largest island is called England. The northern part is called Scotland, and the western part is called Wales. The smaller island is called Ireland. Do you remember what we've already learned about the British Isles? The first people who lived there were called Celts. The Romans tried to conquer the Celts, but only managed to take over a small part of the island. After the Roman Empire fell apart, barbarian tribes named Angles and Saxons came into England and settled down there. Many of the Celts retreated into Scotland, Ireland, and Wales. And a few years later, a monk named Augustine came to England to preach Christianity to the Angles and the Saxons. When the Vikings began to go e-Viking, looking for new land to farm, they sailed down to the British Isles and landed in Scotland and Ireland. They raided farms and monasteries and stole food and treasure. The Celts and the Anglo-Saxons were terrified of the Vikings. The Vikings weren't Christians, and they didn't pay any attention to the British custom of leaving priests and monks alone. Instead, they burned monasteries and churches, stole beautiful illuminated manuscripts, and kidnapped women and children to serve as wives and slaves. "Never before has such terror appeared in Britain as we have now suffered," wrote one Anglo-Saxon historian, a man named Alcuin. Another history that was written during the Middle Ages, the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle says, "They lay waste everything in sight. They trample the holy relics underfoot. They throw down the altars. Some of the monks they kill outright, others they carry away with them. A great many they insult and beat and fling out naked." Some of these Viking invaders took their treasure and went back home, but others decided that they liked Ireland and Scotland. They claimed some of the land as their own and settled down to farm it. And they sent messages back to their friends and relations in Scandinavia. "Come over to this new country," they said. "There is rich land here and no one to defend it." Why did the Vikings find it so easy to attack Britain? Because Britain did not have a strong king to fight back. In fact, England was divided into seven different kingdoms. Maybe if they had all joined together under one leader, these kingdoms could have driven the Vikings out, just like Charlemagne did over in the land of the Franks. But separately, the English kingdoms were too weak to resist, so the Vikings kept on coming. Soon, a huge band of Viking invaders called the Great Army landed in England. It was led by two Viking brothers named Halfdan and Ivar the Boneless. Ivar the Boneless got his name because he was so long and skinny that he looked as though he had been stretched out like silly putty. The Great Army marched through England, capturing kingdoms right and left. They spent 10 years raiding English farms, fighting and looting. Finally, they began to settle down. Ivar the Boneless went over into Ireland with his men, and Halfdan stayed in England and divided his conquered lands up among his men. Now the Vikings were living on farms of their own. These Viking farms were in the middle of England, and there was still plenty of English land to the south, down in the kingdom of Wessex. The Vikings weren't done fighting yet. They wanted all of England, not just part of it. And without a strong king, the English could not defend themselves. "Why not keep going south?" the Vikings asked themselves. "We'll just conquer all of England, right down to the sea." But the Vikings didn't count on meeting a strong English king down there in the south. Soon this king would lead the English against the Vikings and defeat them. Alfred the Great. The kingdom of Wessex, down in the south of England, watched the Viking invasion with fear. When the Vikings arrived at the borders of their kingdom, the noblemen of Wessex collected bags and bags of gold and went out to meet them. "Here," they said, "take our gold and go away." The Vikings took the gold and left for a little while. But soon one of Halfdan's commanders, a warrior named Guthorm, decided that he wanted Wessex after all. So he took a band of fierce fighters with him and headed back down south. "Give me more gold," he demanded, "or I'll invade." The people of Wessex thought, "Soon we're going to run out of gold. We need a strong king to defeat Guthorm and his warriors." So they appointed a nobleman named Alfred to be their leader. Alfred knew that he needed time to collect an army. So he sent Guthorm a little more gold, just enough to convince him to leave Wessex alone for a few more months. Alfred started to train the farmers of Wessex to fight. But Guthorm decided to mount a surprise attack. He marched south with his warriors at Christmas time, during the winter, when armies usually stayed quietly in their camps waiting for warmer weather. Alfred wasn't expecting an invasion. After all, he and the nobles of Wessex had just paid Guthorm to leave them in peace. When Guthorm's army came charging down on him, Alfred wasn't ready. His soldiers were still scattered all over Wessex, and he was celebrating Christmas with only a few bodyguards. The English were terrified. Many of them left England and headed for France. They were sure that Alfred would be killed by Guthorm. And Alfred himself was forced to flee into the wild countryside of Wessex. There he hid, pretending not to be the king. According to one legend, Alfred stopped at a peasant's hut and begged for shelter. The peasant and his wife didn't know who this weary, mud-splattered stranger was, but they took pity on him and let him have food and a bed in exchange for helping with the household chores. Alfred humbly did whatever he was told. One day, the woman made some cakes out of oatmeal and water and put them on the stones of her hearth to bake. "I'm going to collect firewood," she told Alfred. "Watch the cakes for me and make sure they don't burn." And she went out to gather wood, leaving Alfred in front of the fire. But the king soon forgot about the cakes. He was worrying about Guthorm and the invading Vikings. The cakes began to smoke and blacken, but Alfred didn't notice. He was too busy wondering how he could defeat the Vikings. When the woman came back with her armful of firewood, she dropped the sticks and ran to the fire. "What's wrong with you?" she scolded Alfred. "Don't you see that the cakes are burning? You'll eat them fast enough. Can't you help cook them?" Alfred was too ashamed to tell her that she was scolding the king. But soon Alfred managed to think of a plan. He decided that he would stay in hiding until spring, so that his soldiers, who were all farmers, could plant their crops before they started fighting. After all, if he took his farmers away from their fields before they could plant their grain, there would be no food in the summer and fall. Even if they won the fight against the Vikings, they might starve to death. So he hid all spring on a little hill, surrounded by swamps and briars. He sent out secret messages to all of his men. "Plant your crops and then come to my headquarters. We will collect an army to fight against Guthorm and his Vikings." Finally, Alfred collected a big enough army to face Guthorm. And in the meantime, Guthorm's army had shrunk. Many of his warriors had gotten bored waiting around to fight. They had settled down to grow crops of their own instead. By the time the two armies met, the English were as strong as the Vikings. They fought an enormous battle at a place called Salisbury Plain, and the English drove the Vikings right off the battlefield. The Vikings fled into a nearby castle and barred the gates. So Alfred and his men surrounded the castle and kept food and water from going into it. Soon Guthorm and his Vikings could no longer hold out. They surrendered. Guthorm agreed to go away. He traveled back north and settled down to raise crops. The warrior had become a farmer, and Alfred had truly become a king. When Alfred died, he was buried in a cathedral in Wessex. But later his body was moved to another church called Hyde Abbey. Hyde Abbey was destroyed, and a prison was built over top of Alfred's grave. Then the prison was destroyed as well. Eventually, the English forgot where Alfred's body lay. Just a few years ago, in 1999, archaeologists figured out that Alfred's grave was underneath a parking lot. They dug up the parking lot and found pieces of rock that belonged to Alfred's coffin. But the bones were gone. What happened to them? No one knows. Perhaps the prison inmates found Alfred's bones. The Battle of Hastings. After Alfred died, the kings who followed had to keep fighting off Viking invasions. Alfred's son Edward was a strong, fierce leader who protected his kingdoms and even took some of the northern parts of England back from the Vikings. But the kings after Edward were not as successful. 200 years after Alfred's death, his descendant Ethelred was defeated by a Viking king named Svein Forkbeard. Svein had a very long and bushy beard, which he wore in two braids like a fork. He became the King of England, and Ethelred, who had to flee to Normandy, got his own nickname. He was called Ethelred the Unready because he wasn't able to keep the Vikings away. After Svein Forkbeard, the descendants of the Vikings ruled England for many years. But all the time, the children of the Vikings and the children of the Anglo-Saxons were living side by side, trading with each other and marrying each other. England was becoming a mix of Anglo-Saxon and Viking. The English stopped thinking of themselves as Viking or Anglo-Saxon. They were just English. But soon a whole new race of warriors would invade England. The trouble began when Edward the Confessor, who ruled England for over 20 years, began to get old. He had no sons, so his advisors decided that a nobleman named Harold should be the next king of England after Edward's death. Harold was a strong fighter with soldiers of his own who were loyal to him, and he was from Wessex, just like the great King Alfred. But Edward's distant cousin William thought he should inherit the English throne. William wasn't even English. He was French, and he lived in Normandy, the French kingdom of the Vikings. But William was married to an English princess, and he was related to the king. He protested that he should be Edward's heir, but the English advisors refused to listen. They didn't want a Norman ruler. One day, William heard a startling piece of news. Harold, sailing along the coast of Wessex, had been caught in a storm and blown off course. His ship had been driven by the winds all the way across the water between England and France and had wrecked on the shores of Normandy. William went down to the shore and rescued Harold from the wreckage. He took Harold back up to his castle, gave him dry clothes and a place to sleep, and planned a huge feast in his honor for the next night. At the feast, Harold was seated on a dais, a raised platform for an honored guest. He was surrounded by tables draped in scarlet and gold cloth, covered with meat and drink. Jugglers and acrobats entertained him. But Harold was nervous. He knew that William wanted to be Edward's heir, and even though William was acting friendly, Harold was in William's castle with the doors locked. Sure enough, at the end of the feast, William asked Harold to put his hands flat on the table and swear to give William the English throne. Harold was afraid to defy William in his own castle, so he put his hands on the table and swore the oath. But then William whipped the tablecloth away. The table in front of Harold was a box with the bones of saints in it. Harold had sworn an oath on sacred relics. Saints' remains, which were thought to have miraculous powers. Now he was bound to keep his promise. William finally let Harold go back to England. Several years later, Edward the Confessor died. At once, William sent messengers to Harold, demanding that Harold honor his sacred promise. But Harold refused. "I will be King of England," he declared. So the English noblemen held a grand ceremony to make Harold king. But they were nervous. A bad omen hovered on the horizon, Halley's Comet. Halley's Comet comes around every 76 years. But the English didn't know this. All they knew was that a giant light was moving through the sky. They were sure that this light had some terrible meaning. Over England, one monk wrote, is a sign in the sky such as never been seen before. And sure enough, just as Harold was crowned, bad news came. William and his army were ready to attack. William had prepared carefully for his invasion. He landed his army far away from Harald's army so that Harald would have to march a long way to face him. By the time Harald's soldiers arrived to fight William, they were exhausted. Harald had pushed them so quickly that many soldiers had been left along the way, but William's army was fresh and ready to fight. Harald knew that his army needed a rest, so he camped for the night on a hill. He thought that William would wait for him to come down, rather than trying to climb up the hill to fight. But William decided that he would launch an attack, even though fighting uphill is very difficult. He told his troops, "Now is the time to show strength and courage. You fight not only for victory, but for survival." The Normans charged up the hill towards the English camp, and the most famous battle in English history, the Battle of Hastings, had begun. At first, the Norman attack seemed doomed to failure. The English army fought ferociously, and the Norman force began to weaken. William was knocked off his horse, and his soldiers began to shout, "The king is dead! The king is dead!" But William struggled to his feet and yanked his helmet off. "I am still alive," he bellowed, "and by the grace of God, I will still conquer." The relieved Norman soldiers threw themselves back into the battle. They surrounded the English army and overwhelmed it. Harald was killed, and the English surrendered. Harald was buried in purple robes, with the name Harald the Unfortunate carved on his tombstone. But William was given a new name too, William the Conqueror. He became the new king of England, and his fighters, who were French-speaking descendants of Vikings, were given land and castles in England. Once more, England had been invaded and conquered by a foreign people.